Cats 4 points to Wisconsin after trailing very briefly for the first time in the half.
Mitzi's got to get out.
Jones, that's a three. And Duke's right back in front. How about this kid?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Most Basic Cable. This is Court.
This is CBH.
Hello, CBH.
Hello.
We're here to talk, Final Four, National Championship. We both took in as much of the games as possible this weekend. CBH was home in Detroit. I was on vacation in Chicago, but I was very manipulative in my ways to watch the games. Let's jump into the first game, Duke versus Michigan State.
Yeah.
I called Michigan State.
Sadly.
We were mortal enemies.
Mortal enemies.
God.
I'm 1-0.
Damn it.
Battle of mortal enemies.
What was your big takeaway from the game?
Well, it started fast.
Yeah.
And Michigan State, you know, had 14 points right away. And then they tried the old heat check three.
Yeah.
Crazy alley-oop in traffic. And the game was over.
That takes it. That I just feel like
next game.
I feel like they were. I didn't understand it. Like I watched most of this game, and I didn't understand why. I feel like they were playing out of their element. I felt like they were trying to play like somebody other than Michigan State.
Yeah, they definitely fell into that trap.
I think
they believed their own hype. Valentine started and hit his first three threes, and they were going crazy, and they were making all these plays, and Duke was missing shots, and they were up 14-6, you know, I think 3 to 4 minutes in the game, and it's like, oh, this is great. We're going to score 100.
We're going to win.
Yeah. The thing that never happens is going to happen to us. And Duke was really impressive from that point. I mean, they definitely held in there. That'll be a recurring theme as we touch on future games, but they didn't panic. They took advantage of their athletic edge.
I don't want to say Tom Izzo was out coached. I think he was coaching as hard as Coach K, but maybe his voice was just completely gone and the players didn't know what he was saying. Maybe that's why.
They couldn't hear him. Keep shooting threes. Okay, coach. This is great.
This is great. Green light. I just think that you kind of hit on this before, like with the early exits from Duke in past tournaments, it seemed like Coach K was just really just all in.
Yeah.
Just locked in.
Super fired up.
He really was. He's been more fired up than I've seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's usually very stoic.
Yeah.
He looked way more Voldemort this time than he has in the past.
He's got some looks, man.
They all have looks.
Yeah.
But his aren't like Bo Ryan looks. They're like fear of God looks.
It's, I mean, Coach K has been in my life for about 25 years now.
He looks exactly the same.
You know, I was 10 when I met him. So, but he looks exactly the same while also looking about 400 years older.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, see, but I think it's because he looked like such an old man when he was a young man.
Yes.
Right? And now it's like he just looks like an old man with like layer cakes of Coach K face.
Yeah.
Like on top of the other ones. Like I feel like when he goes to bed at night, he peels one layer off.
He's got a certain amount of layers left.
Yeah, so definitely a Duke-esque game. It was the first game I was really, really, really impressed by Duke. I feel like they were in kind of an easy bracket, you know, coming out. I didn't think they were super tested. You know, I guess Gonzaga was maybe the toughest game.
Yeah, their games were unremarkable. At no point did they feel any pressure. Or did I watch the game like, oh, they could lose.
Right.
Felt that to that point. And the Michigan State game was the same way. I mean, by halftime, I was out to eat with some friends and we're watching the game. And by halftime, I was like, well, I just think it's over.
Yeah.
And then second half started and very quickly, oh, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't messing around. Like as soon as they came out, they were just, again, being as dominant as they could possibly be. No surprise, Justice Winslow, 19 points, just slashing. consistently. That guy is always getting to the bucket.
Yeah, I'm super into Justice Winslow.
Yeah, he's like a, I guess like a power forward maybe. Who knows? Yeah, CVH and I talked about this earlier. Like, we have no idea what anyone plays anymore.
Yeah,
they're all just just big and shifty.
They're wings. They're big men. They're all long and fast.
Yeah.
And,
one guy that I think we can almost surely say is a center, Okafor.
Okafor is a center.
Yeah, 18 points. So definitely pretty even distribution from everyone on Duke. And then, Denzel Valentine, 22 points, 11 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, he had
doing everything he can.
9 points early. He looked good. It'll be interesting to see if he...
What year is he?
I think he's a junior.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he's going pro.
You think he's going?
I think so.
Okay.
All the Michigan State fans are going to send us angry emails.
Yeah.
But they don't know our email. So
if they do, it'd be welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They can't do it yet.
And then Trice, 16 points, 5 assists. So, you know, Michigan State, I'll tell you what, if they got Valentine back, they would be a very kind of scary team going into next year.
Yeah, they definitely turn it over. You know, they have Melvin Clark,
mm-hmm.
and he looked super raw at times, but he does seem to be the kind of guy. He reminded me watching Andre Drummond as a rookie with the Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, every once in a while, he'd be like, what the hell just happened? Like, that was incredible.
Flash dunks.
Yeah. And so he's got that going for him. That guy's not super tall, but it'll be interesting to see how he develops.
Well, you know, but explosiveness is everything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you take, he's not super big, but, you know, if you're explosive, you know, nothing else really matters. So final score in that game, 81-61. Duke really pulled away.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was kind of, it wasn't what I expected, because I thought Michigan State was going to, I just thought they were going to Michigan State them.
I was hopeful that would be the case.
Even though we're mortal enemies.
Yeah. I like his
competition.
I know a lot of folks who love that team, and I was, and Duke.
Yeah.
So, I was a little, it was disappointing, but it was one of those games that was over. It was over so late.
Yeah.
That I like by the end of the game, I was like, all right.
All right. Well, yeah, I guess Duke's
moving on. Nobody's going to remember the last 15 minutes of that game.
No, not at all. And Duke advances yet again.
Yeah.
As my friend says, the rich get richer. second game of the night, again, best game as they've consistently had throughout the tournament, Kentucky versus Wisconsin. Wisconsin, you know, Kentucky was, it was very close very early on. And for most of the way through, there's a lot of back and forth. Kentucky got, you know, some contribution from their big guys. Towns had 16 points, 9 rebounds. The Harrison brothers, 12 and 13 points respectively. Not a lot from anybody else.
No. I mean, Cauley Stein only had 4 field goal attempts, only 5 boards.
That surprised me the most. That jumped out at me like immediately was that he just looked like he wasn't sure what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that disappointed me because I've been riding with Cauley Stein since the beginning of the tournament. I feel like he could be a good pro. I don't know what happened. I don't know if...
Well, I think Kaminsky happened.
Yeah, Kaminsky. The thing about Kaminsky is this. Frank Kaminsky is a great college basketball player.
Yeah.
I have no idea what kind of pro he's going to be. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 7-footer.
Yeah.
Who can shoot the 3. So you have to imagine he'll stick around.
Do you take him or Plumlee?
I think you take Kaminsky.
You think you take him?
I think he can be a good guy on a good team. You know,
think he's got better moves, athleticism.
Yeah, I think he's. It'll be interesting to see how he defends in the pros. He's a pretty good defender in college.
He's got the best steal move in college basketball. Yeah. I just don't know if it's not going to get called in the pros.
Right.
Frank Kaminsky just tomahawk chops someone, the player's wrist, and then the ball goes like gets away from them.
Yeah, if he gets you're in the post and you're
you know, it is clear, but the thing is, it's clearly a foul.
Yeah,
and it never gets called.
Well,
and I, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Right,
and I understand that, but it is like it's incredible.
Well, I mean, as much as college basketball has changed to these teams that have these one and done players, like he's just, you know, Brian Cardinal and Lawrence Funderburk and all these enemies of my youth.
Yeah.
Just he's that guy.
He's in that wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Who, Chris Kamen?
Chris Kamen.
He is a little more Chris Kamen than I think most people are. And Chris Kamen, did you see him this past week?
No.
When he pushed CP3 out of bounds? Yeah. So Chris Kamen now looks like a Jesuit monk because he has a gigantic beard and a bald head. He's got the horseshoe. And I just think like CP3 probably talked so much shit to him and he was like, okay, that's it.
He was done with it.
Yeah.
Just fed up.
And so CP3 was like doing that thing where he's stalling, holding the ball out of bounds. He's going to drop back in and Chris Kamen just pushes him out of bounds. Yes, Chris Kamen. Fire up chips. Central Michigan.
He's been a fixture, man.
He has. And he's a good player. All right. Not to get off track. So Kaminsky, 20 points, 11 rebounds, 7-11 from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Very solid game.
Yeah.
Decker, or as his name is spelled, Decker.
Decker.
He has 16 points, 6 of 9 shooting. Another guy, and again, we're doing so many projections going forward because that's the only thing we've got left. These guys are all going pro.
Yeah.
Kaminsky definitely because he's a senior. Decker, I think, because it's the highest ceiling he's going
to
have.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable to, if you look at them this game with Kaminsky and Decker, Stein, Towns, and Lyles on Kentucky.
Yes.
Those are five guys who may go in the lottery.
Yes.
We're playing in this one game.
And the two guys that definitely won't go in the lottery, who did declare today.
Yeah, the Harrisons.
The Harrison brothers.
Yeah.
Which is super dumb. Because I think they're very talented. I just don't know why they don't come back for another year. Because I think if they did, I think they would maybe, I think they'd definitely be a higher pick.
I agree. It'll be interesting to see what happens with them. I think they'll be just okay in the end.
You just don't see it, right?
I think
one of the Harrisons
will make it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know which one.
Is it possible that they could both be on the same team and they could have twin powers like the Sedins for the Canucks? Like,
it could.
Yeah.
They do definitely. I mean, they play well together, you know, but Brooke and Robin Lopez don't play together.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's. I think it's really difficult. I think that Aaron Harrison, I just get them confused so often. Who hit the big shot last year? Was it Andrew or Aaron? One of the Harrisons.
One
last
of the
year.
Harrisons. My money is on Aaron.
You're picking. You, can I pick Andrew? With Mortal,
Mortal enemies.
Enemies
again. We'll report back next time.
Yeah. So I mean, I thought that was a little strange. I didn't think either. Same with you. I didn't think either of the Harrisons were like. Lottery pick worthy. I think it's weird that Dakari Johnson is considering going pro, who racked in 0 points in this game. Like, what? Just stay and play basketball.
Yeah, just hang out for a bit.
I don't understand this. I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they've probably got an agent who's telling them they can be a first round pick and they can get that.
Is that agent John? I mean, is it weird though? Is that agent in effect though John Calipari, who is like, hey, if you come here. And you play for a year and you're great. You'll definitely go in
you'll
the lottery.
Go. You'll,
you know?
Yeah.
I feel like this is the downside of one and dones, of having so many guys that are highly recruited. They're like, the Kari Johnsons are totally safe for a year. There's no reason he should go pro.
Right.
You know? So I don't know. That was my big takeaway from this weekend.
Yeah. Before we get too far ahead, let's chat a little bit about the game. It was a great game.
It was. It was.
You know, the players involved played well. And it was fascinating to watch because Kentucky kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. But if you go back and you look at it, Wisconsin really kicked their ass.
Yeah, they did.
In the last half of the second half. I mean, Kentucky scored 8 points over the last 8 minutes.
Yep.
And Wisconsin just, you know, they fell a little bit behind and then they turned it on. They got some, you know, they had some bad calls go against them.
Yeah.
They also got the break with the shot clock violation.
Yeah.
How
do you have a shot clock violation with a 35-second shot clock?
There was two clean blocks on the play.
Yeah.
This
goes back to the lack of set plays.
Yes.
Yeah. Where they're just like, ah, we'll figure it out.
Just wing it.
Yeah.
I also find that in college, like if a play happens and the ball doesn't hit the rim. A shot goes up and the ball doesn't hit the rim. Nobody knows how much time is on the shot clock.
I know. Yeah. Well, Gino Auriemma, you know, this is men's college basketball. There's just a lot of confusion. There's a lot of splash plays and there's equal amounts of confusion.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, tight game all the way through. They really pulled away. Wisconsin started pulling away
late. I mean, the late. big play and the play that swung my I had picked Kentucky.
Yeah,
I wanted to see an undefeated team, but that Decker step back three. I was like, oh
yeah, that's you know, that's what Decker can do.
Yeah,
that will be Decker's projection going forward. You know, got to be a great 3-point shooter. Yeah, it was. You know, John Calipari just he looked like he had no idea. He was like, how did this happen?
He was so much fun to watch in the sideline too. The way. Like, just watching him sit on his stool was high entertainment. Well,
can we say that the stool is the MVP of the tournament this year?
Yes, I think that next year I want more stools.
I want more stools and more elevated courts.
Yeah.
My favorite is the guys walking up and down the side of the court.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're playing in a place where they shouldn't, where Lucas Oil Stadium or whatever. Can all teams have elevated courts? Do you know that the Cavaliers are the only NBA team that have one?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had one.
Yeah, or at least they did
in
LeBron's first stint. Maybe they worked it out after the fact.
Interesting.
But early on, like he had to like take five steps down and take five steps back up. Like, I think it's fascinating. So I was pulling for Kentucky again, same reason as you. I wanted to see him go undefeated. But at the end I was just kinda like, oh, Wisconsin's playing, but they're outplaying them.
And I think there was a awareness of, like, for me as a fan, Wisconsin was growing and building. Like, when they beat Arizona, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Because I really thought that Arizona was going to stifle them.
So did I, yeah.
And then they were hanging in there with Kentucky. And again, in that last half of the second half, it was just, they're a better team.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, they turned Kentucky into just a collection of skilled players.
Well, is it strange, though, that it took this long into the tournament to figure out that the two probably best teams in the tournament were the two that made it to the championship? Realistically?
I think so.
You know?
Yeah, I mean...
Both of those teams were so deserving because of how hard they play and how fundamentally sound they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Wisconsin ended up taking it 71-64. The entire Kentucky basketball team just wasn't having it.
No.
They just, like, they wanted nothing to do with anything that was happening, including the post-game press conference, where there was one of the Harrisons, I think, I don't know, Andrew, Aaron, one of them,
Andrew,
yeah. when they were asking Towns about Kaminsky, he dropped a F that N-bomb,
yeah,
which was great.
Yeah.
It was a very Robert Durst, I don't know my mic's on,
yes,
moment.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on that in our last podcast, so it's funny that
it's fitting.
It became
stuck
into the world of sports.
Yeah, but that when I saw that when I the next morning, I didn't catch it the night of. I did immediately flip over to SNL, and they did immediately have like a spoof of a press conference, but it wasn't about that. So kind of perfect. And the next morning I'm like, I'm scrolling through Twitter and all I'm seeing is the Andrew Harrison F that M bomb. And I click on it. I'm like, this is exactly who Kentucky is.
Yes.
They're a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
They're clearly, I don't know. Now in retrospect, I don't know how much control John Calipari had over those kids. You know,
it's shown through in the two games they had. They had heat on them against Notre Dame and then against Wisconsin. Notre Dame, you know, Towns was able to be awesome and save them.
Yep.
Against Wisconsin, they just didn't have an answer.
Towns would have had to have a 30-point game against Wisconsin for Kentucky to win.
Yes.
And I'm wondering now more and more after watching that Notre Dame game if that's just what should have been the expectation. Was that he just gets the green light and just says go, right? Because we talked about this before. There's so much team basketball with Kentucky, and it's worked for them all season long. They had some scares throughout the season, but it's worked primarily for the season. And he's clearly the best player on the court for either team.
Yeah.
And my wonderment is, and they weren't doubling. It was one-on-one, mostly Kaminsky. Just let him go. Just, you know, and Kaminsky played great. And I talked about his swipe move to get steals, and he has a lot of those, and he had a couple in the game, but I just wonder, because there were a lot of bad shots again. The Harrisons were hiking it up from three. Everyone was hiking it up from three again, because that's, again, the desperation move. Why not just throw it into the paint and see what Carl Anthony Towns can do? Yeah, see what Carl Anthony Towns can do.
Both directions.
Yeah.
My favorite moment in the aftermath of that game, and it's really easy to make jokes about college students burning couches.
Oh, I know.
Teams win or lose.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make a joke about a Kentucky news station who tweeted out the headline, "Cats lose, riots, fires, girls flashing."
Kentucky.
And we're all basically adults.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, I mean, there is a continuum of team loses, we riot. Team wins, we riot.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw it, but like the reception that Wisconsin got coming back to their hotel was insane. There was like 500 people in the lobby. And
really?
The band playing the fight song when they walked in. And
were they led by J.J. Watt and Aaron Rodgers?
I don't. I wish.
And Olivia Munn.
Yeah. Of all those three, I'm most interested in J.J. Watt.
Including Olivia Munn. We have to say they had that Wisconsin had the most, I guess, the best fan base because of those three. Or the most relevant fan base because of those three?
I mean, they certainly trump Ashley Magic, Judd.
And Magic Johnson?
And Magic is still Magic.
Is that Olivia Munn?
No, Olivia Munn.
Is it Munn?
No, yeah.
I'm going to keep calling her Mom.
Okay.
Where's that? What's Mom doing?
Yeah.
Does she live in Wisconsin with Aaron Rodgers? They can't live in Wisconsin.
I don't know.
You don't get her. You don't get Mom to Wisconsin.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
J.J. Watt doesn't even live in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, he does sleep on a mattress in the offseason in someone's apartment. So this was it, man. This was – I don't think it was a David Goliath takedown. I think it was two really, really good teams. You had said that you thought Wisconsin was a better version of Notre Dame.
Yes.
I think that's true.
Yep.
I think if Jaren Grant plays for Wisconsin – They're like the most terrifying team in the tournament.
I agree.
You know, so yeah, I think both of us wanted to see Kentucky win because of the record, but Wisconsin won. I was happy for him. I was happy for Bo Ryan's face. I was happy for everything.
Yeah, I've really.
I was happy for Ashley Judd melting down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't
know. It made my night.
Yeah. I mean, that was charming. 15 years ago or whenever it started. Like, I'm over it.
I think 15 years, probably 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid. I'm 32. I remember being a 12-year-old and being like, is that Ashley Judd? What's she doing in the stands?
Yeah.
So yeah.
She's been wearing that t-shirt for 20 years.
The whole outfit. Yeah. The hat. All right. So that wraps up the Final Four. Now on to the championship game.
Yes.
The next night. You've got Duke versus Wisconsin, which I don't know how many people called this. You had the percentage points, right?
I know that Duke, I think in the ESPN pools, like 11% had Duke to win it all. I don't know how many people had Wisconsin there.
Yeah.
I think Wisconsin was
Michael Wilbon was the only person that had Wisconsin there.
Yeah. Well, he's good at what he does.
He is good at what he does. He took him all the way. So I was intrigued when I first heard that, but clearly the guy knows what he's talking about. Though he's a Northwestern fan.
Yeah.
yeah. So this game, a lot of hype going into it. I think because of Coach K, you know, the potential of winning five championships, the potential, what the storylines going into, which I loved, Coach K coming off of those bad losses for the last couple of years, the potential of winning five championships with so many McDonald's All-Americans.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the court, Bo Ryan – no championships, two Final Fours,
nobody,
no McDonald's All-Americans, none.
Right.
And I was pulling for Wisconsin.
I was too. I wrote a piece on the site.
You did.
About it and how it would be. It, you know, I couldn't believe I was so into Wisconsin.
Pro Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, they really won me over in their last two games, and I was excited to see that matchup against Duke. And I went in for the first time in a long time, I was trying to remember. I mean, outside of Michigan in 2013, like where I really had a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
I think probably Butler Duke. I really wanted Butler. That was the last
Butler time. Butler was so great. Yeah. I think everyone wanted. Well, again, though, who are they playing?
Duke.
They're playing Duke.
Yeah.
And whether we like it or not, we try and be as non, you know, as non-biased as possible. Like, Duke is Duke. We grew up watching him beat teams that we liked. And so, you know, they continue to do this. And so both of us were pulling for Wisconsin. That said, I did have a side bet with my girlfriend that Duke would win. Yeah. So I was like, I had to do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I got all my eggs are in the Wisconsin basket. I have to have something going
on. Sure.
So we put on the game. And it's, again, it is neck and neck.
It was a great game.
It was a great game.
Yeah. The two teams really matched up well against each other. Again, I thought Wisconsin had the better of it in the first half, and Duke found a way to
Grayson Allen.
Oh boy. That guy.
Grayson Allen found a way to be the new annoying Duke player for the next 3 years.
I wonder at what age he looked at himself in the mirror and was like, oh man, I am so going to Duke that there's no way around it.
He is the perfect Duke villain.
So he was a McDonald's All-American.
He won
the duck contest.
It was like, so CBH and I watched the dunk contest prior to the game, and it was not Spud Webb worthy because of the skill. It was Spud Webb worthy because he barely got over the rim every single time.
He's also 9 inches taller than Spud Webb. He's a sneaky 6'4".
He is 6'4". I keep forgetting he's 6'4".
Super tiny. He did have some plays against Michigan State and even in the game against Wisconsin where you're kind of like, whoa. Like,
he is a slasher. Yeah. Like, he will get to the basket. He's got some Teen Wolf alley-oops in him that were just spectacular. He was a spark plug.
He was.
He really was. And I thought, I'm watching the game and he just kept flashing. And I'm like, who is that?
Yeah. And you have to know, it drove Wisconsin crazy. It did. Who is this guy?
He is the new JJ Redick. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm all over it.
And as I was watching the game, and a recurring theme for the game for me was Bill Raftery. He's my favorite of all those color guys.
Yeah.
I kept disagreeing. It's like, why? Like, he was like, Duke's looking good here. They, you know, at the end of the first half, when Winslow and Okafor both had two fouls and
early foul trouble
and Duke stole the last 2.5 minutes, he was right on it. And then in the middle of the second half, when Duke was down 9 and those guys were still in foul trouble, he was still like, I like what Coach K is doing. And I was sitting on the couch. I was like, this doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
I like, what is he seeing? But apparently
he knows what he's talking about. And it was, and officials. I do think there was the Justice Winslow out of bounds, 2 out of bounds plays.
There was, he stepped on the baseline at the Wisconsin end and then knocked it out of bounds at the Duke end shortly thereafter.
That's right. And they called the tip going the other way. Yeah.
And I mean, those and Duke got 5 points off those two.
So it's not like calls. It's not. And again, you can't rely on, you still got to play great basketball. You've got to play. You can't rely on the calls going your way or not going your way.
Yeah, I mean, as a sports fan in general, I've gotten over the bad call thing.
Yeah,
I do still struggle with it when it's an objective thing.
Right.
Like, oh, he stepped on the line.
Right.
That's your job to see that.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, that was a foul, because who knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But so I can definitely see how those two calls would be tough.
Right.
For Wisconsin fans to swallow.
The only way I've gotten over objective things like that is if it's like a chippy call where they're calling it and it's, you know, maybe a hack, maybe not. Ball don't lie. Rashid got me through those years. So, you know, when it's a free throw on the line, like, I feel it breaks a little bit more even. But when it's things like that where Winslow's clearly out of bounds, I was kind of like, well, come on, you got to call that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that had. It's 5 points, you know, but you can't rely on that.
I mean, it was 5 points, and that was, I mean, the final of the game was 5 points.
Yeah, well, so that it was.
Interesting.
Interesting. Again, how math.
I'm over it. My love for Wisconsin was snuffed out. I ran hot for 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, hey, I think a lot of people did. And I think it's akin to the way, well, Butler was kind of awesome all the way through the tournament. You know, I think everyone kind of jumped on the Wisconsin bandwagon because they took down Kentucky and because they were playing Duke. My question to you is, what do they do now? So what do you think Wisconsin looks like next year?
Next year?
Well, Decker's gone.
Decker's gone.
Kaminsky's gone.
Hayes will probably still be there. I think they may take a step back. I don't think they'll be one seed.
My question is, do you think Bo Ryan has done this now. 2 Final Fours, 0 All-American, 0 McDonald's All-Americans. Mm-hmm. Do you see that trend continuing with him?
If he can find another Kaminsky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was the key too, I think, was Kaminsky. Is that really he found a kid that was just so good, who got recruited by nobody, and maybe wasn't good when he first got there, but developed a game that was, you know, AP Player of the Year worthy.
Well, I think that's how Big Ten teams succeed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how Michigan did it.
They did.
Trey Burke was lightly recruited, mm-hmm. and then he was the, you know, one player of the year. Same thing with Kaminsky.
Yeah.
Michigan State has done that. How many? Like, I can't remember the last time they had a recruit that was like, whoa, this is a guy.
They have one McDonald's All-American.
Kalen Lucas, yeah. I think, was the last big one like that.
Yeah. That's my thing with the Big Ten and competing against the Kentuckys and the Dukes and the North Carolinas and Kansas is it's almost like Moneyball, right? In a sense. It's like you're finding guys that are undervalued for one reason or another, and then coaching the hell out of them.
And hoping that you get an intersecting of two or three at one time.
Well, yeah, and like Beeline's had, a couple down years, but that guy's a great coach and keeps finding kids in Canada, you know, or Wisconsin or whatever, and he turns them into, like, deadly three-point shooters.
Yeah, I think if Stauskas and McGarry, if McGarry hadn't run into the trouble he ran into and Stauskas stayed an extra year, that they would have been right there with all those teams.
What, McGarry was a fairly high prospect, though, or no?
He was.
Yeah. McGarry was one that was like, McGarry may still be a guy. Like, I'm still waiting for McGarry to fully become an adult and then turn into a monster. I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah, I do think his destiny is to be like an awesome forward off the bench.
Yeah. Sixth man.
In the NBA. Yeah.
Which isn't terrible. I mean, when you look at the Draymond Greens of the world, like that's we talk about where the NBA is going, and it's not just space and pace. It's finding a sixth man who's going to light it up.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, we grew up with Vinnie Johnson, but that seems to be a fad more than it seems to be like we need to find a guy who's going to be our sixth man. And I think a guy like Kaminsky, I don't think he's a starter in the NBA. I just don't. I'd love it if he was. I just, unless he goes to a team that desperately needs a center power forward. But the way he plays, I think he could be that guy off the bench in the pros.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know that he's going to be. There's so many people in this draft. I don't know if he's going to be a lottery pick, but he could be.
Yeah. And he's 7-footer. He's got skill.
Yeah.
I certainly think there's some teams that'll take a flyer.
He could be the Andrew Bogut.
I mean, you know, what if. You know, one of the good teams, one of the Western teams that doesn't make it, either, you know, OKC or New Orleans. I mean, the guys that those teams pick will be really interesting.
Yeah. What does Davis look like next to Kaminsky?
Next to Kaminsky we mentioned like Lyles from Kentucky or Decker, any of those guys fitting into a team like that would be. It'll be really interesting.
And I think that's fascinating in the sense that, if you look at a team like the Pelicans who have Anthony Davis, like, it, you know, if they could get some guys who could really accent what he does, that would be impressive. Yeah, maybe.
I think we were going to touch on draft conspiracy theories at some point going forward. Here's the thing. I mean, OKC, their season goes down the tubes because Durant's hurt, and Westbrook's hurt, and Ibaka's hurt, and all that stuff. And they get a lottery pick, and all of a sudden, guess who won the lottery?
Right.
OKC. So here's Carl Anthony Towns.
It would just be unfair, right? Yeah. I mean, it's we'll definitely kind of give our thought process on who might project to what going forward. We'll definitely write a lot about it coming up, because this is one of my favorite times of the year, NBA draft, and the lottery. But yeah, coming out of this game, Duke was just the better team.
They were. Yeah. I was really impressed with Winslow.
Yeah.
More so than Okafor. I think Okafor is pretty impressive. But I really just like the way Winslow plays. He's hyper athletic.
Yeah.
He's a guy that I would want.
So we played the game earlier, mm-hmm. and we've been talking about the lottery all day. So if you are any team, we were using the Pistons in this aspect, but if you're any team and you have the number three pick and Okafor goes one and Towns goes two, you're going Winslow?
I would think so.
Oh yeah. Now, you gave me a fascinating response, was that if you had the number two pick, who do you go?
I mean, depending on who I had, if I had a big man already.
So let's use the Pistons as a team, right? Because we already have Drummond. So if you're the Pistons and Okafor goes one, you go.
I think I'd pick Winslow.
You go Winslow.
Yeah.
Even though Towns and Drummond could be a pair in the post. But in that aspect, you're keeping Greg Monroe, and you're going Winslow.
Maybe. Right. I mean, I do think that with Van Gundy as a coach, I mean, he's gone for
right.
four shooters, slashers around
yeah.
a big man. I just, yeah, I mean, outside of Towns and Okafor, they're ultra impressive. I like Justice Winslow more than D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, so do I. Well, who do you think he compares to? So this is probably my favorite game to play. Who does Justice Winslow, he doesn't have to be the same player, but who is he? And I have my player already, but I'm intrigued to see who you think he looks the most like in the pros.
What is he, 6'6"?
Yeah. Maybe, right? 6'6"?
Yeah, I think he's 6'6". Super athletic. You know, I don't want to say like Russell Westbrook.
Right.
I don't want to put him on that plane. But he does... He does have some of that.
He does
that build.
He's got a lot of flash too, and he does take a lot to the basket.
Yeah.
My comparison is Ron Artest.
Artest, yes.
He is incredibly Ron Artest.
Yeah.
Now he's a little bit smoother than Artest.
Yeah.
But he is an incredibly strong player, and he has the ability to get to the basket. Not in necessarily. He doesn't. The thing about Westbrook is just so hyper athletic, mm-hmm. and he does it where it looks effortless, and Winslow does it where it looks like he's just going to break whatever is in his way. Like he is, yes, there's an effortless aspect to it, but a lot of what he does just for some reason reminds me of Artest. Because of that though, and because of what I've seen, and he's 19, so that has to be taken in consideration. I do think he's probably put himself in the top three of the draft.
Yeah,
depending on who's in that spot,
he's certainly the most physically impressive.
Yeah.
Player I think I saw.
And when we talk about that coming out of the tournament, and I think there's selfishly that we watch the tournament, yes, because we enjoy college basketball and because we enjoy the tournament and you know and everything that's involved with it, but two, because we're trying to set the table for what's going to happen in the NBA.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've become more of an NBA fan, I've moved away from really caring about
right.
college basketball.
Yeah, I think we both tune in throughout the season a little bit, and then towards the end of the season, as it gets near Selection Sunday, we start kind of like paying more attention. But yeah, it's mostly a proving grounds for the NBA at this point because there are so many one and done players. For me, I think that I came into our last podcast saying that I thought Carl Anthony Towns was the number one, clearly the number one pick, and that was coming off of the Notre Dame game. I still feel like if he gets enough time and gets time to develop. There's something about him that I think he could be a very, very dominant low post player.
I agree with
that. And I think he may have a higher ceiling than Okafor. Okafor day one, I think it will be a better player.
Yeah, Okafor's got, I mean, he's more athletic.
Yeah.
I think good grade on defense right away.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Towns would have to polish that aspect of his game.
Yep.
And
I think people are unfairly, unfairly comparing him to Tim Duncan, which I think is a little weird. Okafor. I don't know. I've heard that like four or five times this week.
Kind of looks like Tim Duncan.
Just because he looks like Tim Duncan doesn't mean he as he zooms in on the page, doesn't mean that he plays like Tim Duncan. So I think that's a little unfair. But you know, it's interesting to have two big men that are legit big men. You know, I mean, it's been a long time, and we talk about the way that the game has developed and moved away from what we were used to. Over the last couple of years, it's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, if you take a quick look at the draft prospects, I mean, they're 50% of them are 6'10" or taller this year. There's not a lot of small guys, not a lot of wings, which makes me like Winslow even more.
Yeah.
Because if you want a small forward, shooting guard, wing guy, he's really the only one
that stands out.
That stands out.
Well, and I think there's a it's all dependent on the team, but I think that, you know, that's a commodity in most drafts, and everyone's heavily focused on the centers and the big guys. And when you were saying that today, like you would take in a certain situation, you would take Winslow as high as two. That was kind of eye opening to say like, well, you know, he has flashed that skill in the tournament, and that's usually what happens is the guy just comes out and lays it on the table, and you're like, wow, this guy could be an amazing pro. Mm-hmm. And I think that Decker's been great in the tournament. Clearly it's a disadvantage to him because he's not nearly as athletic, and I can't see him going. I don't think he goes top five, top seven.
No, he maybe will slip into the lottery.
That's what I figured. Yeah, maybe mid first round.
I mean, the thing with Decker and Kaminsky is I think those are guys because they're 20 and 22.
Yeah,
that they've, you know, having that extra year or two on the other kids. It, you know, if you're a late lottery pick, or even if you're, you know, the 15 to 20, so you made the playoffs, you're the lower tier in the East or something like that. Or the sixth seed in the West. Those are guys that can help you right away.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, if you're an established team and you need a really, really smart, you know, smart, heady player, quasi athletic who can, you know, come off the bench and get you points when you need them and get you rest for your stars, those guys are in that wheelhouse. Since we're talking draft, and we'll get into it more as we get through it, because as the NBA by the year becomes more like the NFL, they have a combine where Dante Exum became this huge thing last year. You're looking at a top 20, right? Mm-hmm. How much do you think that shakes up as we get closer? Do you think that the combine, because it seemed by the year, it seems it may have a bigger impact.
Yeah, the lottery will be really interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah.
I mean, if Philly wins the lottery,
what does Philly do?
Do they take another 7-footer? Like
I could see them doing that.
No, are they just going to roll out five guys with a combined height of 35 feet?
I think if... Did you play for Kentucky? Yeah. Perfect. Come on over.
Come on over.
I think if Philly wins it, they take Winslow.
Yeah.
I really do. I Nerlens Noel is playing well. That rhymed. And I think that... I think if Winslow's, you know, if they have the number one pick, I think they take him.
Yeah.
Because Sam Hinkie can't do this forever.
Yes.
Or can he? I mean, he can do it for a seven, eight-year stretch, but at some point he's got to put pieces on the table.
I do think that of the players I know a lot about, and there's a bunch of guys in the top 20 that are, you know, from Croatia, or Emmanuel Mudiay is playing in
Mudiay
China.
Is going to be an interesting player. Yeah.
You know, I think those guys will move up and down the board. But if you look at drafts past, I think that Winslow's the guy.
Yeah.
If you're looking at somebody who may not be a number one to shoot up and
who may not be a number one, but could be a max player at some point.
Well, what is his ceiling? compared to, you know, what's Towns ceiling, what's right. Okafor's ceiling. I mean, if you're comparing him to Ron Artest, I think he's Westbrook-y, Harden.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, Harden's a good comparison too, but he's just, I don't know what it is about. I'm telling you, when I was watching him play, I'm like, God, this is like Pacers Artest for some reason.
Yeah.
He just gets the rim, he gets contact, and you know, and Harden is like that too. He's just a little bit more stretched, and I don't know, there's something about him that reminds me of him, but
he's pretty swole, is that it?
He's very so swole. Is that, yeah, Meta World Peace. He's yeah. very swole. And I think the NBA draft, we were looking at what, like 2013 today and 2012, and it's only two rounds. Like you've yeah. got to hit. Like you've got to hit on something.
Yeah, if you've got a, especially if you have a top three pick, if yeah. you know,
yeah.
you're in there, like you can't, unless you're Philly and you have all of those picks yeah. all the time, you can't screw it up.
Right. Yeah. So I'm intrigued as time goes on to see how that slotting works. But I think Winslow's probably a top three, barring anything strange happening between now and then.
And my wildest dream is the year the Pistons drafted Drummond. I remember yeah. watching that draft, and after a few picks and Drummond was still on the board and looking at all the other teams, like, oh,
yeah,
he can get yeah. to us. And, you yeah. know, and I don't know where the Pistons are right now. If we look at the
yeah, we're
overall standings, they would be picking eighth
yeah.
if everything fell the way they would. And they're pretty much stuck in that spot. So they'll, you know, they'll be eighth.
That's the spot they got Drummond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they jump up into the top three.
Yep.
That would be just so awesome.
I know. And we'll get there when it shakes down to it. Because I'm intrigued. You know, it's a bummer because I feel like it's going to be the Knicks, and I don't know what they're going to do with whatever player they get. You know, it's...
I feel bad for that player.
So do I. Well, yeah. Here's, you know, everyone says that.
That's, well, yeah, but
he's also going to New York.
He's going
to
be a millionaire.
Yeah, he's going to be a millionaire. He's going to New York. I don't know if he's playing with Carmelo next year, but he's, you know, he's playing on the Knicks. So it's going to be interesting. I'm always fascinated. It's only two rounds. Chris and I both think they should probably break it up a little bit. The back-to-back's a little cumbersome.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Put it on two nights. You can do the same thing with the draft. Although I feel like, I don't know that, like, I'm an NBA head.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would watch the second round of the draft. Whereas you're an NFL guy.
Right.
And you'll pay attention to the whole thing.
I will. Yeah. But I liked when they broke it up, and it was, well, at first I didn't, because I used to, like, when I was 15, like, all I did was I spent an entire 2 days watching the NFL draft. And it was kind of like, if anyone's ever watched, like, all of the Lord of the Ring movies in a row or all the Harry Potters. And it seems like the best idea going into it. And at the end, you're just like, I got to get out of here.
This is devastating. I'm covered in
Cheetos. And so that for me, like when they broke it up at first, I was a little, I didn't like it. And now I love it because it's one night that you're just all in.
Yeah.
And it takes so long. And
it's a great
yeah.
three and a half yeah. hours. There's man hugs.
Yeah. There's drinks. Yeah, it's a good.
Yeah, we'll have a lot to say about the NFL draft as that comes. Yeah. And
NBA draft.
Right, and well, the NBA draft happens after the NFL draft.
It does. So it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So it'll be good. Yeah. So needless to say, Final Four Championship podcast. Duke won. The rich get richer.
They were the best team.
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
You know, I don't like or dislike them any more than I did for them winning.
Same.
I admire Coach K's ability to recruit the players he got yep. after having the failures they had, which yeah. is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
To put the shine back on that program.
Coach K's only five championships behind Wooden.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and is he five behind Gino Auriemma now too?
He is.
Yeah.
He is. Gino reigns supreme.
Yeah.
You don't mess around with Gino.
Yeah, we should talk a little bit about that. I mean,
I didn't get a chance to tune in, unfortunately, but did you check any of the game?
I don't want to watch a team. I mean, they won it by an average of 43 points in the tournament or some nonsense like
They're,
that. Like, I don't need to see that.
Gino's a monster, man. Yeah. It was always just him and Pat Summitt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was it. And not to take anything away from women's college basketball, I like layups and mid-range J's. Sure. I mean, they play the game, they play an incredibly fundamental game. It's fun to watch for me. They pass it four times before they shoot. It's great.
Yeah.
But I feel like Greg Popovich is like overseeing that or something. I don't know what's happening. He's just in the corner with a whistle. But you know, it's an impressive feat. You know, he's had amazing players. He's had, if you talk of all college sports, you know, he's coached as many amazing athletes, you know, as probably Coach K has going into the NBA as they have gone in the WNBA. So yeah, I mean, hats off to Gino, and women's college basketball, and you know, it's great to see. Yeah. I it sucks. I don't really watch it. I watched.
Well, let's be clear.
Yeah,
it's not women's basketball.
Yeah, it sucks that I don't have the vested interest. But I was heavily invested when we had a professional WNBA team.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we had the Shock, I was all in.
Yeah, I remember celebrating their their championships and having a crush on Swin Cash.
And, yeah, you know. So way to go, Gino.
So yeah, college basketball's done.
Yep.
For years and years, it's the perfect appetizer for what you referred to as the sports vortex.
Yeah, it is a sports vortex.
You got college basketball, which... This weekend you got the Masters.
Yep.
Next week.
Oh, did you see
Jack?
Jack.
Yeah.
Hole in one. Was it first at Augusta or is?
Well, I mean, they're in a par three tournament, I don't know if it's his first at Augusta.
I think it's his first at Augusta.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great.
I love the Masters. It's one of my favorite tournaments to watch. Freddie Couples is one of my all-time favorite athletes. I don't know. He was an athlete, but now he's just what I want to be when I'm 55 years old. He's the best ambler in the world.
Well, there's a lot to be said because everyone continues to say, like, is Tiger Woods completely done as a golfer? And the thing is that golf has such a friggin' long timeline that you can never really be done as a golfer.
No.
You know, if you're talented enough, I don't know if he's ever going to do it while he's still on in the PGA, but when he gets to the senior tour.
Oh, that's the best pension.
Yeah.
Oh. In the world. Like,
I was a kid, you know, I played sports growing up and I golfed a little bit. And my dad tried so hard for me to be a golf. He's like, quit every other sport.
Just do this.
Just do golf. And I'm like, Dad, why? All my friends are playing all these other sports. He's like, you have no idea. You make the cut. Here's $1 million.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely tune in the Masters this weekend. We're in it, man. I mean, this is opening day.
We'll be back next week. I think we'll do a little NHL.
We will.
Preview.
Yep.
And following week, we'll have an NBA playoff preview.
Yep.
And then we'll just have a ton of stuff to talk about.
Baseball's in full swing. Tigers are 2-0.
2-0.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we are rolling. So we will we'll catch you guys next week and we'll break into the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Gentlemen, to Weevil.